In today's video, I want to go straight away to show you how a supervision or coaching session should look like based on the framework that we provide in the Reigniting Clinical Supervision web-based workshop. So this will help you, especially if you're involved in the workshop itself, if you're registered already at this time of the recording. We are already in the 11th cohort of the Reigniting Clinical Supervision. But even if you're not, this would give you a framework of how it would look like and give you some idea of the landscape that will be covered. So let's dive right into it. One of the key tenets that you see in RCS is the distinction between coaching for performance and coaching for development. This binocular vision is to give you depth field perception. Not that only one or the other is better. We have to go through this undulating process of oscillating between the two. So let's dive straight into what each of these components would look like. In coaching for performance, there are quite a few parts on a micro level, and that's about what we normally do, traditional case-by-case type of discussion, especially when we are stuck with certain cases, we will present and we'll talk about them. And it's also about improving the specific outcomes of that session or specifically for that client. So that's coaching for performance. Now, coaching for development, however, it's on a macro level where we zoom out and we are trying to help the therapist establish an ongoing learning and development plan. And by doing that, we are not just improving one client at a time, we're really trying to improve the therapist's overall effectiveness. So it's not just solving for specifics, it's solving for patterns. And of course, you already could tell this emphasis is on the therapist. Now, let's go even further into the weeds and see what this would look like from the coaching for performance and coaching for development landscape. So coaching for performance, one component that we have to do in that is when a supervisee presents a case, we highly recommend that you bring in graphs of outcomes and alliance scale. This visibility, as we talked about this in another separate podcast and blog post, that it's so important that we have this because already we're two steps removed in the process. So to have some kind of language via the numbers is really important. It's not important about the numbers. It's like alphabets helps us string sentence and tell stories. Numbers help us tell a story that we may miss just based on qualitative data. So the quantitative side also assists us in making better decisions. Second component, of course, is some kind of case background. Now, this, of course, sounds pretty familiar to most of us who supervise people, that we will need some kind of clinical background, but we don't want to just go there without those graphs of outcomes and engagement level of what's happening. So sometimes when a client, when a therapist presents with a case, sometimes when we go into the background without looking at the graph, we end up having a kind of biased opinion. And then when we see the graphs, we then realize that, hey, actually things are going on track. Now, if things are going off track, then that's relevant for our discussion. If things are going on track, then this has got to do more with the therapist's perspective about that. So those combinations are really important, the quantitative and the qualitative. And then number three is to help the therapist explicate their intentions of why they're bringing up this case. Now, this seems fairly obvious, but it's not trivial because we need to take some time to help the supervisee, your supervisee, to focus about why they're bringing this, what they hope to get out of this. And then we could have some perspective about how to help them, especially when already we have the graphs with some background information. Now, this is where it gets interesting. Number four is when the supervisor helps the supervisee walks through what I call the impact of session grid, or ISG. This is a grid that deconstructs a therapy session based on a therapy recording. So a recording of some sort, be it audio or video, is going to be really vital, especially at the early phase of working with a therapist, that you need to have to be able to see what that's going on. Because if not, we would just end up talking about a case instead of getting straight to listening to the heart of the music of therapy. So the grid in RCS, we would explain about how to deconstruct into blocks, how to look at the dynamic flow of a session. Now, if you want to have some kind of tasters for this, look at the Frontiers block. And there's one particular block that I look at Esther Perel, a famous, renowned couples therapist. In one of her podcasts, we deconstruct a session using the ISG. And just search up darylchow.com/frontiers. And then in there, look for this particular post that says, "I don't mean to be mean, but." That's the title of Esther Perel's podcast episode. And we deconstruct on things that you could do and even go further to play with the idea of how to employ deliberate practice principles in them. And then finally, not just getting performance feedback, one vital thing is to give learning feedback as well on how they're learning and if they need any inputs, content to help them learn a little bit deeper. That's going to be really critical for the supervisor to provide some of those things. Now, here I want to just bring up a point that the leading researcher in clinical supervision, Edward Watkins Jr., points out, and he says this: if we cannot show that supervision affects patient outcome, then how can we justify supervision? Take a moment and think about this, because this statement sort of hints at a vital question, which is, what is supervision for? And we need to be clear about that, because ultimately we could talk about other secondary important things, but there are something at the heart of it which is more primary, where I think Edward Watkins clearly points out really well about this. Now that we've seen what coaching for performance looked like, now let's go into the coaching for development perspective. This is the other lens that we need to have. So one of the first things that we need to do in this process is to be able to review a supervisee's overall outcomes data. This is really critical, because here we want to find out not just how effective they are, but we want to find out what are some of the general outcomes from an evaluative standpoint, of course, but then using that to develop outcome goals that they might want to work on in their deliberate practice efforts. So for example, if a therapist's dropout rates are like 40% for, say, the child and adolescent population, then maybe one of the outcome goals is to see how we could reduce that. Or another example, if for a particular therapist, their outcomes is not so good for male clients, then they need to find a way to work on that outcome goal. Now, this is highly individualized, which is why getting this piece is such an important segment of the puzzle to help you go into the next phase. Because then in the RCS number two, we will help therapists and supervisors use the taxonomy of deliberate practice activities worksheet. It is a mouthful, and the worksheets are a tome as well. But the main aim is to go from helping them identify their outcome goals and then to deconstruct that into process goals on a therapist level, not on a client level, on a therapist level, meaning that one therapist may have to find what kind of things that keep reoccurring. We need to solve for patterns on that so that there will be some kind of leverage that can help them out in that. For more about leverages and edges of deliberate practice, there is a keynote that was done that is available. So do go and check that out as well. And then number three, once we have the outcome goals and the process goals based on the aggregate data of the therapist, and then figuring out what are some things they need to zoom in and work on, then we need to help them design a deliberate practice learning system. This is where they need to design a kind of a project around their edge where they need to work on. So the supervisor's role is so critical here, because there are things that we may miss as therapists, and from a coaching perspective, they can provide those angles of what to work on that can have high leverage on improving the outcomes. Then an important piece, now this often it gets lost, and you know, this is one really important thing that I highly recommend our supervisors to do is simply close the loop. Now, what I mean by this is that when you have a supervisory session and you discuss and there's some ideas that's been exchanged and suggested to the therapist to try out, do close the loop. Do find a way, maybe even automate this to make sure that your supervisees tell you how it went. Did they try out what you suggested? If they didn't, how did that go? Did it have an impact? Did it change things? This is really critical because here, not only you close the loop, but the therapist, the supervisor is able to learn on the level of impact of whether this two-step removal of supervision from the therapy room is actually translating into client outcomes, the thing that Edward Watkins Jr. mentioned. So really important. Finally, in this process, on a macro level, we don't want to just measure competence. We want to measure growth. What I mean by that, the emphasis here is not a competency framework, which all of us are really familiar with and sometimes frightened about. It is less about competency. It's more about growth, meaning over time, we want to see where you're at. Doesn't matter where you start, and see where you go. And when you go in that process, we want to cultivate a kind of growth that is helping you to not only get better, because when you get better, your morale is more heightened and you feel more energized and more inoculative of burnout in that process. So there you have it. In the Reigniting Clinical Supervision course, we go into further details. And here's the visual guide for you, because where we begin is to give you the main idea. But as with the main idea, we would go into specifications in the modules to look at how to employ measures less as an assessment tool and more as a conversational tool. And then to also from a coaching for development side to help you figure out where you're at so you can figure out where you need to grow, and especially helping supervisees in that. And then later on, we will zoom out at the end of the course to help you understand some key theoretical frameworks that apply to that. So it's the other way around. It's in most books that when you read, we start with those theories and ideas, and then we later on go into the practical stuff. In this course, we start the other way around. We go straight into the practicalities, and then we zoom out later, and we climb to the ladder of abstraction to be able to help you see what are some key principles at play. I hope you found this useful, and keep an eye on the courses that are being run. They happen once or twice a year. Right now, in this time of the recording, today is the last day of the registration. And to make sure that you stay in touch, go to darylchow.com. That's darylchow.com/frontiers. And subscribe to our weekly newsletter where you get 5 tips every Friday, the Frontiers Friday, and we keep people posted on exclusive deals and tips that are practical for supervisors and therapists. I hope you enjoy this, and please stay in touch.